Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Really, Dom?
We're here, we've made it after, what, nearly 2 years waiting for this film. We're currently in Frankie and Benny's in Bury, awaiting a meal. But while we're waiting for that meal, we'll just have a few thoughts on No Time to Die. I'll start with Rob, because I know Rob has watched the entire Craig quadrilogy in anticipation of this film. And has that made you more excited for this one, Rob?
It's very hard to say. I'm very, very excited to listen to the Bond theme again in the cinema. I'm very excited to see some action, some adventure, and hopefully some humour and smarts. But no, I'm really, really excited. Even more excited now that the beers have arrived after they got spilled over the floor.
Yeah.
Look out. But yeah, feeling good, feeling positive.
It's our first foray, well, some of us' first foray into the cinema as well, so that's just an exciting thing. And it's the first time you've been to cinema post-pandemic, Jim?
No, I watched Peter Rabbit 2.
And Irritating Rabbit 2.
Paw Patrol, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
How was Paw Patrol?
Surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Really,
if No Time to Die matches up to Paw Patrol, I'm
yeah.
Surprised. The bar has been set.
Was it 2 hours and 43 minutes?
No, I could have watched it twice in
that time. Oh dear. Math, how have you revised for No Time to Die?
Well, even though I've seen all the Daniel Craig Bond films very recently, I decided to try and squeeze them in again. So I watched Casino Royale last Friday and then Quantum of Solace Tuesday, Skyfall Wednesday, Spectre last night. Jeez. So it's a real Craig fest.
Met a girl on Monday.
It's yeah, yeah. Craig David, yeah.
Craig David.
The weird thing is that we're watching this on the Friday after it's come out on the Tuesday.
I know.
Again, sounding like Craig David again. But not being on the Bond social media, I've had to do posts and I've seen the occasional thing and
yeah.
There's been, thankfully, the people we know love haven't done spoilers, so credit to you guys. But it's still been a bit weird and it's almost 3 days, isn't it, of not knowing what's going on. And have you found that pretty difficult, guys?
Not really, mainly because every time I see the hashtag James Bond in it,
yeah.
The little hash thing gives me a little warning, so I just scroll immediately past
the motorbike, famously.
I just ignore it straight away and go straight past. But there are so many people out there who've written things and posted blog articles and stuff that I've been desperate to check
out. Yeah.
Carrie Edwards here, looking at you, buddy.
Yes, Carrie.
Saw that post go live earlier today. No, I'm glad to be going in with fresh eyes, blank slate.
For me, you know, like on Twitter and that, I trust a lot of the Bond fandom to not ruin it, you know, and so I've not seen any spoilers. I've seen people asking other groups where we can discuss the film, you know, it's very respectful, so thank you to those that have everyone I've seen have done that.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd say is that whilst everyone's been amazing in not spoiling, I am slightly nervous about going in because it seems that there's been a bit of a divide of opinion or, you know, with this film, and I think that I'm probably going to come out of the cinema not really sure how to process my thoughts. I think I'm going to have to watch this two or three times to be able to get a proper analysis of what I think of it.
Yeah, because there's going to have to be big things happening in the storyline, aren't there, with all the tying loose ends with Madeline and things like that. Blofeld, Madeline, it's a swear word until there. Chris has joined us. Unfortunately, Harry will not be able to be here tonight. But yeah, Chris, we were just sort of saying, have we revised for this massive, momentous film we're about to watch?
My expectations jumped up. And then has dropped considerably with you know, some of the discussions on social media and the reviews and things. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot that we're going to like.
Yeah,
we'll see.
But what, did they jump up because you heard the soundtrack? Because I know you and Rob have listened to it.
It made me exciting because there's those musical motifs from, you know, the history of, sort of Bond films that I thought, actually, this might be quite interesting. How it, however it sits with the film is completely different.
I don't know whether to say, you know, what those are, because is that a spoiler in itself? But John was a bit more worried about that.
I've only heard one, and I kind of struggle with it, if I'm being honest, because the beauty of the soundtrack that I'd heard was that was exclusive to that film, and it was very much on its own kind of thing. It wasn't like, if it was, say, the 007 theme tune, that'd be amazing to hear that set all across it. But I'll have to see how it fits, but it grates on me that you've got a motif from films being crowbarred into a new one.
Yeah.
We're talking about Marvin Hamlisch's Bond 77.
Oh, well. Can't wait for this.
We'd be standing up the whole film, wouldn't we, I think?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, the old Bond soundtracks, they didn't used to include all the music in the film. But I'm assuming there won't be additional stuff not on the soundtrack that's a big spoil. I don't know, who knows? But it's 2 hours 43 minutes and the soundtrack presumably isn't that long.
No, it felt very short.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it felt very short. Most tracks like 2 minutes, something like that. We wish for it very quickly.
I've only heard Matera and obviously that was amazing. No. Well, that's a spoiler, isn't it?
What was the other one that we...
I'm not saying you can't say that.
Yeah, no. You're right. Well, it's a spoiler.
It shouldn't be a spoiler.
In fairness, every Bond film has had a gun barrel of sorts, hasn't it?
Yeah. And listening back to that, it sounded... similar to Thomas Newman's gun barrel.
Oh. The one at the end of Spectre.
The one end of Spectre.
So it starts.
I thought anyway. Yeah. It sounded quite Newman like. Which is why when I'm listening back, I was a bit like. We'll see. Obviously, it's all about context, isn't it? It's like what the soundtrack is like in the film, but. Interesting choices.
What I found very strange this week is seeing these reviews coming in, and I've not seen any 3-star reviews. It's either been 1 or 5.
Yeah. You've seen 1-star, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, no, you equate them to...
Sorry.
You know if someone says...
As on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think it seems to have been more of a hit with critics than with Bond fans. Mm. Bond fans are quite divided.
What does this mean?
Whereas critics have been pretty 4-stars, 5-stars.
Yeah.
Whereas some Bond fans really.
Is there going to be a moment that takes a massive dump on the franchise as we know?
I feel like there is.
That's the worry
for
me.
There is something.
There's got to be something in there that prompts this division. Oh, it's either a 5-star or a 1-star.
This is the worry, isn't it?
Should we
might work.
It's what we think it is.
Oh.
I've heard, John.
The sort of possible things that could happen. I don't know, right? I daren't say anything because I have heard. A little bit myself, so I'll stay out of this.
Shall I share my fan theory, or is it?
Oh yeah, no, go for it.
Go for it, John. So I think that because I read
so
a headline that said that No Time to Die genre crosses, And I'm very fearful that we go into science fiction territory. And I wonder, and then I also saw something that says that you need to have watched Spectre to see No Time to Die. And I am really worried that actually when Blofeld drilled that needle into Bond's head, that he actually went into a coma and everything that happened after was a figment of his imagination. And No Time to Die is going to be a continuation of that. If that happens, I hand in my Bond pass.
But it was in the early scripts with Carrie Fukunaga on stage.
Oh.
But I thought they said they
all a dream.
Yeah.
Soap opera.
Well, they've done Step Brothers.
I'm not going to risk this.
Should we go all watch Octopus?
Oh hell, let's do what we always do. Yeah. Oh dear me. Are there any other weird theories or predictions? Or?
I don't know. I mean, there might be some significant character deaths.
Pete Felix might perish. Or...
I don't know.
That's something that wouldn't be too controversial, would it? I don't. Would it?
Probably not. No, I think be quite. I mean, M to die again.
No,
might
no,
be
don't,
a bit
no,
on
no.
the money penny. You know, they might not want.
I'm going to say now, I'm going to be really frustrated if someone significant dies, because it's Spectre syndrome all over again.
Yeah. Mm.
It's saying, we'll call the film Spectre, but we'll pretend that there's no Blofeld.
Yeah.
And then to start and everyone knew that already. And then if you call a film No Time to Die, it's baby work for someone to die in it, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
Which, yeah. That's my, I think, I don't know. I don't know whether I want to say this.
No, no. You can say whatever you want.
I think Bond will die.
Really?
I think Bond will die.
It's the elephant in the room that everyone's now. Everyone's opening up. Yeah. Yes, I think that
this
too.
Therapy.
I think
this
that's
is too. Therapy.
Don't experiment because Danny Boyle left because that's exactly what he wants to do. He's
pepperoni with chilies.
Yes, thank you. Yes. I've got pizza so I can eat. So, yeah, it's good.
I wouldn't put it past it. In some respects, it's probably the best thing to do because you start with Bond's Begins, so let's finish what we started. So it's like, then it is a complete kind of capsule of its own franchise.
Yeah. And they've done him retiring, so they're not going to do him retiring again.
No, but I think they have so much like respect for Daniel Craig that they think, like, if he said, well, how about on my last film I die, and then, you know, so it's this bookended thing, like, oh yeah, we'll do that.
Critics will really, that's real opportunities for lots of emotion, lots of drama, and they'll lap it up.
We've heard it's emotional, haven't we?
Do you think,
that word is worrying.
Yeah, very worrying. Do you think Bond is going to die after saving the world at the end of it? And then we're going to have a scene of Rory Kinnear absolutely devastated at a coffee shop in Venice.
Yeah.
And then he turns around
and
sees a glimpse of James Bond with Madeleine Swann having a nice tip to the heart.
Absolutely.
You know, we may as well finish off the Nolan trilogy one way or another, you know. Oh.
The Hannibal trilogy.
Lovely
thank you, nice. Yeah. That stays in.
Yeah. Come on the pop.
Yeah.
Be a guest.
Oh, dear.
We have a spare ticket.
Yeah, we do actually. Yeah. I haven't thought about it like that, but yes, that might be a logical conclusion. But just because it's his last film doesn't mean he has to die.
Oh no,
that would be childish,
wouldn't it? Yeah. So then it's like, oh, we can't be. It's a bit like in some respects, you know, the Harrison Ford thing. It's like,
yeah.
I want to kill him off, but I won't get asked back. But I do think it is to make it kind of finite. This is the end.
Yeah.
This is Daniel
Craig's
journey, James Bond.
Easier to restart as well.
Yeah. Still not a great journey.
No.
Constant
pushing. We didn't have a normal, keep saying this, don't we, a normal mission of him, just saving the world. Didn't have one.
He's above that.
He's what?
He's above that because he's a dramatic Bond, which is not the traditional, which is a ridiculous thing because obviously people tend to forget that Bond is, you know, started his drama, started his thrillers, and over the years it's changed, but that's to reflect, you know, and changing, you know, taste. So Bond has been all these things before him. It's just that they bang on about it.
because we're listening now, aren't we, more than the average... Yeah, I know what you mean. The other thing to note is that it was filmed 2 years ago.
Yes.
I could think of him dying and doing stuff like this if it had just been finished with the sort of pandemic and even more emotional stuff. But then I still think they might have had reshoots privately or secretly somehow. I know they've done it on other films, haven't they? But they've always not. They've always told the public that they've done it, but... I don't know, we might find that out one day.
I'm not sure a $300 million movie has the same rules as any of us. You know, there is no budget restraints on this.
No.
If you are not happy with something, I would think though, genuinely though, with the time frame of them filming it versus where we are now, I mean, it's October 1st today, 2021.
Yeah.
It would be very hard to keep a massive secret like James Bond dying.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
On set at the time. They always talk about how many people are involved in making these movies.
Those people didn't leave the band that cried on set when they left, so maybe they are giving them a big secret.
That was famously not after that scene. It wasn't the Sam Mendes crying, even though it's the first film he'd done with Judi Dench.
The point about reshoots is, in the past, the big films with reshoots are rebuilding sets. And now you've got TV series like The Mandalorian, where you can film everything and anything in a single studio. Technology allows it. So they could have gone back to pilot mode and not rebuilt the sets, but just done it using that technology. There's no reason why you could do that.
Yeah.
So there is a possibility it could have been.
And there's worry, you know, there's talk of the plot could be involving a pandemic as well. And, which is fine.
Yeah.
Of course it is, yeah.
It's better than cyber terrorism.
I mean, not the Majesty's Secret Service was doing that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Rob, you watched on a Majesty's. Was it last night? Yeah. I'm slightly worried that. How can anything compete with that now?
Yeah, I did watch all four Craigs and then then watch on a Majesty's
as a reward.
Yeah, it was like a pat on the back piece.
I mean, I know we shared some stark opinions in our podcast WhatsApp group, but I don't know whether I've set myself up for a serious fall, by the way. I must add as well, we watched the first half of Goldfinger before. So
good grief.
Yeah.
Some top tier Bond stuff.
Yeah, it is.
I'm worried about it. But what struck me though is like I'm bursting to talk about Lazenby now.
Yeah.
Like, bursting to talk about how good he was. Totally underrated, totally underappreciated. And he, you know, there's a lot of this about, you know, the small thing is Paul Connery had a feline grace. Yeah. Lazenby moves like a cat.
Yeah.
Guy's totally competent.
The second droppage of the night. So, yeah. You only dropped twice. Terrible joke.
These are only the catastrophes of the evening.
Oh, gosh. George as well. The fight scenes, Rob, that. He's so good, isn't he?
Yeah. That's quite interesting. Just how they're actually really, when I watch them again quite recently, how heavily edited they are.
Mm.
You never lose track of where you are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Unlike some other films.
It was on Blu-ray, Rob, so I think that's made a difference to people's appreciation for it.
It looks astonishing. It looked astonishing. It always struck me when I first got Blu-ray just how hairy Sean Connery actually was. That was the main takeaway.
Yeah.
But these movies are gold standard, absolute gold standard, and updated to Blu-ray look better than ever. We're minutes from seeing No Time.
Oh, gosh.
Talking about Goldfinger. On a Majesty's.
The sound editing of Majesty's phenomenal. You hear every punch.
And the first John Glenn's Wilhelm scream.
Yeah.
For the Yeah. For the flamethrower. Yeah. Well,
the same lovely guy.
Yeah.
But when the guy falls off the ski cliff, I don't
That's
actually
unbelievable.
See. But next time you watch it, the shadow comes in from another angle. So when he falls and the shadow comes in, they collide into each other at the bottom. It's the most astonishing shot you've ever seen.
It's real.
Honestly, it's unbelievable.
When he lands.
So he lands and his shadows come in like that.
Yeah,
it's use of non-score for that.
But Bond's given, you know, when he gets to the ice ring, he's not to do. He's like got his head in his hands. Tracy saves him.
Show don't tell.
And you buy that 100%.
Yeah. I'll bring it back to the Craigs because Rob, you must have been thinking. Sorry, which did you prefer, the gorgeous scenes at Peace Gloria or the faux Peace Gloria Inspector? It is, but it is meant to be, isn't it? I mean, it's like a glass circular kind of.
There isn't actually a competition here.
Yeah.
Although Spectre is my new favourite Craig.
Yeah. The haters, the haters of us, I mean.
For the benefit of the tape, Chris is shaking his
head. Yeah. Chris, don't worry, he still hates it. No. No, but you've had a Craig Renaissance, Rob.
I enjoyed all four of them this week. They're made so much better than most contemporary fare. Absolutely. Of course I've got misgivings with the character and the direction of the series, but what I'm learning is that a lot of people have grown up with Daniel Craig as their James Bond, and I need to respect that.
Yeah.
I don't need to belittle that.
It's been popular.
Not that I've ever belittled it, but I don't need to, you know, dismiss it out of that, is what I mean. And if he's got you into the James Bond movies, that's great. Mm. But for my palate, my taste, these will always be lower at the lower end.
Yeah.
But I did really get a kick out of watching them four, especially Spectre.
Yeah, this is great.
I absolutely agree with you. I think, you know, the fact that he's seen is, has meant that he's still making them, that he's still making lots of money, they're still popular, the people, you know, still an event film, things are great.
Yeah.
I think what would be a little way
here we
is
go.
When people say they outstretch any of the others. I think, and I just think that you do not actually watch the others. I think there's no way you can say that those Craig's films are better than Honey Legend Service, Goldfinger, Octopussy. You know, there's so many brilliant quality films. And you could argue, you know, Die Another Day, but it's still entertaining, it still has its merits, but but I just don't buy that this handful of films are just miles better than the original series. I just don't think.
Yes, thank you.
Rob's obviously on Talk Radio about the whole Kerry Fukunaga's comment.
Go on again, but it's too late.
It'll have to be the proper midnight slot.
Too late.
But even that, I heard them talking about it on Jeremy Kyle. Sorry, I keep saying Jeremy Kyle. Jeremy Vine.
Cancelled.
And it was like, at least Daniel Craig's been more relevant. And then they were like, which Bonds have you seen? Oh, I just saw that clip of Thunderball in which he said that bit. And I think I've seen a bit of a Sean Connery film.
Well, Mantel.
Yeah, how can you possibly?
Yeah, same clip every time.
This is something I wanted to say on that interview, was that what people always very, very conveniently overlook is just how powerful some of the early Bond women were and how... What you can never say about the four Craig movies we've had is that they're ahead of their time in cinema sense. Whereas the early Bond films really were ahead of their time. And what they were doing, technically what they were achieving in the storytelling and character sense.
Absolutely.
You can't say that about this film.
So right.
How progressive they are. Like, we can all look back and go, oh, that's good sex or something like that. But at least these films were actually introducing, people of colour.
Yeah, in Doctor No.
Writing women in substantial roles.
In Doctor No.
And look at the cast of Living Like That. How many films made, in the studio system had that amount of...
Absolutely.
It's just like hindsight, isn't it?
It's what David said. David Licence Queer said about Diamonds Are Forever, at least there are some gay people in it. It might be some gay people get really offended about it, but...
Miles, years ahead of the rest of cinema, even entertain such a thing.
Yeah.
You could go right back to the very beginning. Ursula Andress's character, Bonnie Ryder, was an extreme... She was an iconic woman.
Yeah.
Iconic woman. But it gets thrown away with, there are missteps everywhere. Taste change, society changes, quite rightly too. But you can't...
you can't have everything, and you can't say that. I mean, someone got in touch with me this week to say about the interview, about how they'd only ever seen Craig Bond movies, and they said it didn't make me want to see any others.
Wow.
I was sad about that, you know. They said, I said, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, but there's loads to enjoy if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's not what everyone is saying. It's not a sexist fiesta.
No.
That people make out of it. But she said at the same time, well, I did think that the Craig movies were extremely sexist. The use of
it
was dreadful. It didn't make me want to be a part of them at all.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So this is, you know, for everyone saying that this is, you know, like, oh, Bond's grown up. Is he knackered?
No.
Is he knackered?
Well, in some respects, he shouldn't, because he is always meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, not out of place, but he's supposed to be the character trains.
It doesn't make him. Yeah.
There's an old thing, you think, oh.
He's not a role model to children anymore. He's not the Roger Moore Bond where the kids are growing up loving him. Daniel Craig's films are films for adults, aren't they? They're meant to be, anyway.
What I liked is that when there was the AIDS crisis in the 80s, not going on about how great Dalton is, but I will. The Living Daylights doesn't hammer home about an AIDS crisis. It just makes it that his Bond becomes a one-woman man.
Yeah.
Now, what you have to do is you have to fit that into a plot, and you have to start asking, is James Bond relevant, or is MI6 relevant to the plot? And that's the issue. I think Daniel Craig's tenure, I can appreciate what Craig does as Bond. I think he can play Bond in his way very well, especially in Casino Royale. What will spoil his tenure is the writing.
Yeah, definitely. That's purpose and word if you can't quite hear them.
That's it. And that's a shame. That's a real shame that it's been tarred by an era where you have producers who have continually made statements about how we are relevant now and how we are changing in the world around us. Don't preach that. Just make the slight adaptations.
Absolutely.
And everyone will come on board with you.
Yeah. And I do long for a Daniel Craig Bond film that is just a solid adventure, which isn't personal, you know.
Well, we won't now. We can't. No.
And it just would have been great.
Go on.
Know, like I say, you know, scuba gear. Will we see him in scuba gear in this?
Skiing.
Yeah.
Commander's outfit.
Absolutely, yeah.
Underwater with a snorkel.
Yeah, I don't think we will. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just
climbing.
A little bit frustrating that either between Quantum of Solace and Skyfall, that's probably the place to do it.
Yeah.
Or just in place of Quantum of Solace. Just a solid adventure where he's at the top of his game, coming up against a formidable foe who he doesn't know anything about, you know, who MI6 don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a traditional Bond film.
Definitely. Yeah. The Madeleine Spectre is as close as you can.
Well, that's why you said it was your current, this minute, your favourite film. Just to bring it back to this film, No Time to Die. No, with the women stuff. Someone said it this week, like, and there's like clickbait article. Every single Bond film that comes out now, it's like, these Bond women will be independent and fierce and, you know, have their own orientation. I don't know.
Have you never seen Fiona Volpe?
Yeah, it's been going on since the start.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't understand. They sort of base it on one or two characters they've seen, who are usually minor characters.
Yeah.
And usually civilians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not like, yeah, so, oh, this is ridiculous, she's like special forces. And
useless. Mary Goodnight's the one that everyone sticks. But even
she's actually good at the job.
She is.
You watch it and don't make assumptions.
Yeah. Scaramanga puts her in the bikini, but anyway. Guy Hamilton.
And the other side of that is there are many incompetent men in the
Have
you ever watched Sergeant Sheriff J.W. Pepper?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No, he's a great tourist. He's a civilian abroad. Yeah.
I was thinking about that today, you know, like, at what point did he go, what's his wife's name?
Mary Ellen.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to go to Thailand.
There is no way that character would even consider leaving the States.
Yeah.
Never mind. But I love it, so.
You feel like Bangkok was a little suburb in Louisiana. Yeah, very wanted to go.
Elephants. No Time to Die in half an hour, yeah. Although, we do think we. If you're hearing this, we think we might have guessed who the JW Pepper Twitter account is. Yes. If anyone wants to proffer their prediction.
There's no party without party.
Hey, there's no party without party.
So, Stephen, yes, you know.
Could
don't know
you.
Yeah.
Is that Where are you?
Are you JW?
I sure am.
What the hell is going on? That could be the biggest spoiler of the night.
It could be. The looks from the table at this point are absolutely off the scale.
Frankie and Benny's in Berry.
We're not at the VIP stage yet.
No, no. going back to that though, if you were there at the old hall, how weird, just think how weird,
yeah.
watching it from a balcony with everyone there.
Yeah, I know.
What a weird
experience. It'd be such a weird, the whole thing would be an overwhelming experience. I mean, it'd be amazing, but then to process the film.
Thank you very much. I don't think I could have remotely been objective.
Thank you, Bill.
It's all about the movie.
No, I
would thought everything would have been so amazing. That I would
yeah, I mean, you take
thank
it.
Thank you.
Imagine how weird though. Like, if we're going to see something tonight in the film that we're like, I can picture we don't like it, we're going to turn to each other, aren't we? Imagining that when Judi Dench is there and, you know, all, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can't say anything negative in front of her.
Heckling Daniel Craig.
Yeah, no way, of course not.
That doesn't start with a gun barrel, you just see six bodies blown.
Did we like the pink velvet jacket?
Yeah. I don't think it suits him.
Right, we'll cut that bit. I'm trying to give him some praise for once.
I like the idea.
I don't have a problem with
it. You can't be too nice on Brosnan on here.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, there's too much love. No, sorry, there's too much love.
The love is not enough, John.
what I'll say about Daniel Craig over these last few months is I think he's been far more positive.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
he knows his home.
But that gives me hope about this film. That I think I'm hoping that he sounds like he's enjoyed himself, and I'm hoping that he's going to give a bit more of an interested, expressive performance. Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping.
There's not been, you know, the being James Bond, we said the excuses of Quantum, the excuses of Spectre.
No.
I suppose the excuse they'll give for this one is the pandemic and all the right.
It's shot before the pandemic.
Yeah, but they might say the whole writing changes, but. There's no Daniel Craig is not in. Is he? No, yeah, he probably did get injured at one stage. But.
Yeah, he did. He broke his ankle.
He's used that excuse once. No. What I'm saying is Daniel Craig isn't going to be. He says he's proud of it. So.
Yeah.
That's fine. He can stand and fall. It's quite a big. It's quite a difficult thing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I remember saying to you guys this week, this is a win-win for me.
Yeah,
it's either a brilliant Bond film that I can cherish and go home and enjoy and tell my kids about tomorrow morning, or probably late at night.
They'll be up by the time you get them out of the way.
Or I can leave safe in the knowledge that this chapter is over.
This is... It's... What is it? It is 15 years, isn't it? And obviously we weren't offended by the casting so much, it was just the direction that it changed. Not you, John.
I wasn't ready for a surly Bond. I don't know whether I'd ever be ready for it.
Yeah. It's difficult. He did do a good job with his first film, obviously, and that fitted him well. I don't think they've quite known what to do with him and how to deal with him. They've had a bit of a... tried to strike a balance sometimes of doing traditional Bond and traditional elements, or what they think are traditional elements, with him, right, whilst making them serious and stuff. So I don't know, it's interesting. We might get all that tonight again.
How many times do you think we're going to look at each other through
the film? Whiplash.
We might as well watch in a circle or something like that. Jerk circle, wasn't it?
are we going to send an insurance claim to you?
Yeah.
I think it'll be a bold choice.
That's good though, is it?
And I do think that's a good thing. Yeah. Whether it land or not, I think it's definitely going to be bold choices. And I think sometimes it's good to mix it up. It's just that sometimes it just doesn't, when it hasn't hit the mark, so many, it's like actually maybe we're overreaching. Like with Daniel Craig trying too hard. We just need to go back to basics and just like write a good script.
Yeah.
Rob, do you want to do any question?
No. Can't do that, Chris. No, no. But, we need some food.
Some puns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, what examples so far have landed of making bold moves in the franchise?
Obviously, Casino Royale is the main one, isn't it? I think also the choice, some of the choices, like Sam Mendes on paper was a really interesting bold choice. You know, someone who was, you know, more kind of art house, you know, theatre back.
Did it land though?
In some respect. Well, it did for the puppet.
It was
a massive hit. I really enjoyed Skyfall when I first saw it. And this is the thing, because of the writing, you go back and you think, you could drive a truck through that. And I think that's where it really doesn't hold. And that's the difference. It feels like there's no real kind of strong structure to these scripts. It's very much like, feels like it's written almost on set. No, it's not always written on set. And I feel like no one's quite, is it Brockin Wilson? Is it laziness that like, they keep going back to Purvis and Wade?
Because they're the common denominator.
Yeah, in all these films. But they go on to track John Logan, Oscar winning screenwriter, and then get.
Sorry, you've got to work with Easter to rewrite it. Paul Haggis, why did he leave?
The one thing I will say is that we talk about how we want family, and whilst we don't agree with the decisions of Purvis and Wade, that is some kind of example of like them continuing doing it. I don't like their decision. I think with both Casino Royale and Skyfall, whilst you could put some plot, you know, you could drive a lorry through the plot, the endings leave Bond in a decent place.
And
that's the frustration for me, is actually the continuation of what happens after both of them films. Make them a bit more disappointed. So retcon things from Skyfall and
Spectre
affect Skyfall. Because
it's not fair though on Skyfall.
It's not fair on Skyfall.
But it looks like a wild misstep now, Skyfall. That's the problem.
Yeah. Dear me.
But
it's bad writing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about it.
But they did, well, is not enough. So.
About this whole idea of ending is tying it all up. So then it's this only standalone, like, mini-series of Bond and Craig. And it just makes me think that maybe he does have time to die.
There's just no time, famously. No.
Well, in two.
Oh, gosh.
It is, you know, there will be plenty.
Do you think it is their last film?
I think Wilson will retire.
Yeah.
Rocky will stay on in some form, and Amazon will just get done with it. And the thing is, Amazon might attract decent, essentially showbiz, which is what it will be.
But I'm a bit worried. In some ways, that's good, but I'm a bit worried that Amazon have less allegiance to the franchise as a whole, so they might take it in directions they.
Yeah, I mean, at least Barbara has a family connection here, and she's doing what she thinks right for the franchise. Yeah.
She's done a lot of good as
and
well.
She has. Yeah, she's guided it through its arguably its most successful era ever.
Yeah.
But you can't overlook that.
And it's definitely her choice, Daniel Craig.
Oh, she's made that very clear. Daniel,
I was so enamoured with his charisma and his screen presence. Can you do impressions of women? Is that sexist? Michael G. Wilson, though, you know, he wrote the old John Glenn Bolton. So
could you do a G. Wilson?
Co-wrote.
Yeah, he co-wrote. But so did Purvis and Wade. So
yeah, but there's a common denominator with pretty much all the Connery films as well, and it's Dick Maybaugh.
He never gets. He doesn't seem to get enough credit, does he? Think about that.
No time for credit.
I know. Well, we're nearly going to have to go soon, aren't we? Can we have the bill, please?
I feel unwell at this stage.
Talking about this means our minds are not actually on. Yeah. Heck, we're just about to see a new James Bond. Six years.
You know when you're like, you've had that stage where you're waiting for a really big football match. Oh. You've had a sleepless night before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have the nervy period. But then you have that, like, or whatever. You have that that hour before where it flies by because you just focus on it and then it gets to it. You go, oh, my word, I'm in it. That's where I'm at now.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that adrenaline now. Like, let's just get in there.
What a rush. That was from The Mask.
I know just what you mean. I'm equating it similarly. Used to get very excited before football matches, but for me this is a bit more like Christmas Eve, where Santa is coming.
Is he?
And he's gonna deliver me either something amazing or a block of shit.
Have you been a naughty boy this year?
Yeah. It's a metaphor for shit. Yeah. I thought you were gonna say it's a bit like a boxing match, Rob.
Yeah.
No, Santa.
I'm always really up for those. We keep it Christmas themed. It's the festive season. Oh. And obviously, I watched Honor Majesty's last night. Festive bonfire. Oh.
We could just talk about Honor Majesty's.
We really could. Can we stay here and do that?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I just want to stay.
Mission aborted.
Really,
the
person
has
led to watch the film.
Stayed
in a regional Frankie and
Benny's.
I mean,
regional. We won't be doing that, don't we?
That is absolute partridge heights, isn't
it? It is, yeah. We deserve to get cancelled if we do that.
Yeah, we definitely do.
But we have got that legacy. Whatever happens tonight, even if it's the most offensive thing 3 hours we've ever seen, we've got 24. We've got 25. Yeah. And it will, I think. We know that, and we will give our thoughts after the film, but we know that it's going to take 3, 4, 5 viewings probably, because there's so much going to happen in it. Okay, there will be decisions, big decisions in it that we might instantly be like, no, sorry, I don't do that, that's it. Such as the music.
I'm certain that there are bits, there'll be at least several bits in it that all of us, you know, perhaps different bits that all of us will like and positive.
Right, I'm gonna call halt to this until we. So the next time you hear from us, we will have seen No Time to Die. Good grief!
Peace and love, man.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
This is it.
Can we get the bill, please?
Yeah. The bill will come. And, oh heck, it's 9 o'clock. We've missed the film.
Really, Douglas, that podcast keep moving going. Keep the strong going. Y'all keep the strong going.
We've just come out of No Time to Die, the premiere. It's after 11:30 at night. It's been a long night. It's been a night full of emotions. It's been a very emotional film.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You can probably sense it's pretty quiet and a bit glum here. We haven't discussed the film yet, so this is it. This is the first thoughts of No Time to Die. I won't start with John, because I know John's going to say something that he might regret. No. We've got the math. Go on, you're...
Well,
my word.
I'll try and think of the things that I liked about it. I think there was some ambition there to go back to big sets and a villain with a big scheme that could put the whole world at risk.
Did you understand what his scheme was?
Not specifically, but I know what the end game would be. I liked the portrait of Robert Brown that you could see.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I got the biggest cheer of the night. I know
the music will probably be debated, but I think some of that was possibly not all Hans Zimmer's choice necessarily.
Yeah.
But I thought some of his helped keep the pace along for because, you know, there were long stages in the film. I don't know, maybe when there was maybe less happening than the music made you feel that was happening.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be positive. It's one of the strangest films I've ever seen. It's one of the strangest portrayals of James Bond you will ever likely to see. Some of the humour works, but I thought there was quite a lot of it in certain times, which I don't know, just took me a little bit away from the world of Bond. I didn't really feel like it was a Bond film, really. I think they've taken it too far away from what James Bond is about, and you know, maybe there is time to move on and everything, but I don't know. I think it's gone too far now. I think whatever comes next, I'm a bit worried because it's now, you know, Amazon in charge. It's all up for grabs. There are less and less people who are involved with it previously who are now involved with it, and more people who have a say than, you know, maybe should have a say. And I don't know. I think I'm a bit worried. So overall, there's so much to process. There were bits that entertained me. I don't think I was particularly, but I wouldn't say I was bored, actually. I don't know.
So many massive things happening, aren't there?
Yeah. I'm worried.
Yeah, fascinating.
Obviously, I've not been a big fan of the direction of the last four films. For me, this was comfortably the best of the five. An hour in, I thought, I'm really enjoying this.
Good.
It went into territories I was sadly expecting, and it got a bit much.
What the hell is going on?
I'm glad this era is over and done with. Yeah. But that was the best of the Craigs for me. Whether you want to call that a James Bond performance or not, I don't really know. But that was his best performance for me of the five. Yeah, I don't really have. I've really enjoyed my experience of going watching it, and it will take some unpacking for sure. But it was the best Bond I've seen in 15 years.
Brilliant. Wow, that's good. That's, yeah, a bit better. Yeah, yeah.
I say 2002. 19
Oh, sorry,
years.
Yeah.
19 years.
Oh, gosh. Chris, I've...
I'm trying to sort of process it. On paper, there's, like, a lot to like. I think, you know, some of the sets, the cinematography, you know. But overall, like Matt said, it doesn't feel, to me, like a Bond film. Feels like a lot of what's happened since Casino Royale, it feels like it's people who want to make an action film or a spy film, but not a Bond film. Mm. And that's what I really struggle with, all the elements. It's a bit like a fake watch, you know, it looks like the real thing.
It
has the same way, but you know it's not an original. And I think that's the thing that I've kind of struggled with a few of his films. But this one, I have to say, I think it went too far. It did certain things for the sake of it, and again, it's because I think people think, oh, I'll show the audience what they want from a Bond film, whether you like it or not. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. But I have to say, I didn't enjoy it. I also felt that it had serious pacing issues. I felt like it was flat at times. There was no sense of, not much drama, and we've fallen back into stupid screenwriting again.
Oh, okay.
Like with the opening, the choices that he makes based on nothing, but he's only there to serve the plot.
Yeah.
It drives me mad. But yeah, for me, it doesn't feel like a Bond film, even though there were Bond elements in it.
What do you think about the action?
Perfectly serviceable. I didn't see anything in there that I don't see on Netflix TV. I think that Bond should be better. Bond should be real. There's too much cutting to CGI ships and CGI explosions.
Say someone else.
I just feel like, and again, like for that director to come on, and I feel like he's doing the same old tricks.
His tricks, or
True Detective, very long shot.
There was near the end of the story.
You can do that, and I feel that really makes you feel like you're not participating. Feel it's like a strangely cold film, even though it's trying to tell you it's very emotional. I think Craig's performance is probably his most naturalistic and his most relaxed.
Yeah.
Like I say, whether that's his portrayal is actually of a James Bond, he's not really for me. I think he's a bit too emotional at times. Just in a kind of, it just seems a bit weepy, like any minute.
It's a bit weepy, isn't it?
His
strange.
His voice seemed to be struggling more than. What?
Had an American accent at some point.
Yeah, he did have an American accent at times. Yeah.
For the purpose of the tape, John is shaking his head and has had a furrowed brow. I wasn't sitting next to him in the film, so I pretty much knew what he was thinking.
I think the good things of this film is Daniel Craig. I think Daniel Craig is natural in this performance, and I felt. If I'm being honest, actually, I felt that for once, James Bond should always sort of be a hero that you should want to get alongside as the audience, and I did get alongside him in this. I thought the car action sequences are the best of the Craig era, if I'm being honest. I thought the Aston Martin stuff was as good as, much better than anything. Spectre with car chases, better shot than that. And we've not really had a car chase in any of the other films.
No.
So, apart from Quantum of Solace, and it wasn't shot properly. I thought Moneypenny was good because I felt like she was what Moneypenny should be.
Mm.
You know, yeah, yeah. I like that. Mm. And one of the things I've said before is that I want the MI6, 5, whatever stuff to be in their office. And they were.
They were, right?
So that's fair. I hate Lashana Lynch with an absolute passion.
Oh my word. I can't. Right, I'll have to interject at some point.
It's just Rey from Star Wars syndrome all over again, of just trying to, like, we put all over that we have to have a really, like, strong, confident woman. So what we do with them is that we make them a cartoon character of basically perfection and everything, as opposed to an actual human being. We overcompensate all the time. And I have to be honest, spoiler alert, when she threw that guy into the thing,
oh yeah, yeah,
I just wanted to shout like Roger Moore to Goodnight, Goodnight, don't you believe in science?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It did have echoes
there.
Just
like, you know, this is a thing that Goodnight gets portrayed as a bimbo for doing that. But we're trying to portray her as like superhero for doing it. That did my head in. Have you ever seen Andy Tate from who does the Red Devils Man United channel? Who has the and he goes on about Glazers out and all this. Purvis and Wade out. honestly, that film had about 45 minutes of excess fat that just could have gone. That was like, we took an hour to get to what the plot was because we had to just navel gaze over. I'm not even sure what we were actually navel gazing over, but Bond's emotional ties with Felix and some random guy from the CIA who was actually part of Spectre, and then we started talking, and then we saw Spectre die because they've been poisoned whilst Blofeld's mechanical eyeball was. I mean, can I just say, right? I'm being serious now. I'm hearing people online say this is a masterpiece. Dying of a Day had invisible cars, but we have a mechanical eyeball, and that's a masterpiece. Get a grip! What? And then we get to the horrendous crowbarring in of We Have All the Time in the World.
Yeah.
From the start.
I've got a theory. Well, a bit of a theory about that, so.
Go on, Matt.
Well, no, I think possibly, I might be wrong, they might have been a bit wary of, look, we don't have much to link this back to, like, the old times. Yeah. And, you know, that was an emotional film. This is an emotional film. And so we'll put this in and, you know, it'll be a callback to all that. And that's why they... Yeah. That's what I think.
It's riding on the coattails. You only get the emotion. That piece of music is emotional because you're associated with that film.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you crowbar it in and it means nothing. It's just... Because all I'm thinking is, how great was that film? I want to go home and watch on Her Majesty's.
Yeah.
I want to listen to the music. I want to remember what that is. An emotional journey. And this wasn't an emotional journey. Even though they keep talking about emotion, it's I don't know if it's a modern day thing, but it's thin. Just because you say it doesn't mean it actually is.
Absolutely. And then they randomly put a cue in to the instrumental.
Yeah,
no. When that's in, that's to do with ski chases.
Yeah. Well, we're going to ask, of course.
We're going to ask James Bond talking to M stuck on London Bridge.
What on earth was that?
I know, I had no idea.
Absolutely horrendous.
I thought it was going to reveal some kind of big action scene.
He looked like Lays in his suit at the famous lamp?
It's a really boring scene. Yeah. Unless,
Can we just
stop? They did some swearing.
I have to admit, I giggled at that.
I've had enough. There are various things I like.
Ray Fiennes was really good, I think.
But I don't want to be laughing all
he
the
should
time.
Be Bond. Ray Fiennes was a good Bond, wasn't he?
So,
sorry, I feel like I just need to vent because I know that I'm going to get a bit of stick for this when this comes out, but I don't care because I'm really upset by it because they have
gone down a complete rabbit hole and made Bond something that it's not. That is the writers. It is the writers and the producers who've obviously decided this way. But if you're going to go down that way, write it properly. And they can't write it properly. And they don't know what the plot points are. They don't know where they're going at all. And it's all convoluted together. And actually, I think Safin is a decent villain. I think he's got a creepy vibe about him. And I like that idea. I think what they're trying to get out of him destroying the world's good, but they have this same shtick in how they write them every time. Oh. We bring them in halfway through with a little like, it has to be a psychological monologue, and this time it was to Madeline. Mm. It's the same thing they did with Silver, it's the same thing with Cuckoo. That's something, that is disgraceful.
I thought it was good that they put that back. I thought.
Comedic.
It was yeah. Ridiculous.
He isn't a threat.
No, he isn't.
He's not Hannibal.
Why was he in the film?
I found that scene funny because they built him up absolutely massively.
Yeah, coming along the corridor.
And then
he was like in a little truck, wasn't he? Like.
I mean, I didn't think it was great acting by Craig, this, to be honest, but they're like, oh, die! Yeah. You know, I was like, we've done better acting than in our Bond.
That was absolutely laughable, that. I don't understand. And then he's just...
Well, it's because it was to kill him.
I don't understand this plot at the end, the swimming scene at the end. I've no idea what that meant. I've no idea. Well, it's a spoiler, isn't it? But the drowning, not quite, and then... I don't understand that moment of realisation or something.
He was infected and therefore...
He could never approach...
I know that, but I don't understand why it's linked to Madeline. I couldn't understand this.
Because that's the specific DNA's in him now.
And it
so that if he goes to them two... He's dead.
That's pretty fantastical, isn't it? This is way more than Dying of the Day. This.
It's not as fantastical as others.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
Dr. Julius Snow.
Love again.
It's good. I like that callback.
I'm going to say it now. I almost wish that this was all a figment of Bond's imagination.
After Chris.
I almost wish they had.
Why does he climb to the roof at the end?
Just to see.
That's it.
It's Star Wars Rogue One, basically.
It was very Star Wars, all of it. The new Star Wars, I thought.
Yeah.
The Rise of Skywalker. It was even the lens flare. It didn't feel real, any of the shots. I thought the whole thing looked fantastical. Even like the end... Even that end M scene, like why are they in the dark with like, you know, sort of bit of sun flare coming through. What on earth is going on?
You see, even the opening shot was with the young Madeline walking into the ice. It's all like turns into CGI. You can just see the transition. Mm.
Yeah.
Everything looks like you say, the fake, like the shot of Italy doesn't look like Italy.
No.
Like
just like, and it's an incredibly beautiful place.
Screen, I know.
It's in the Passion of the Christ. It's an incredible place to shoot, but they made it look like some fairy tale.
And so on the nose, that what are they burning? Secret.
Tom, can you tell us your thoughts?
Yeah.
It's you know, I think it's as far away from the previous four films as Dying of the Day is from any of the other Bond films. I think it's just...
It doesn't feel like nothing, the same role as Casino Royale.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no.
Casino Royale, feels far more like the old James Bond films than this feels like the other Craig films.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's dreadful. I'm just...
Dying of the Day still felt like a Bond film.
It did, yeah. Okay, because he had a beginning, middle and end. Yeah. Villain established. You know what he's going to do pretty much halfway through. Bit of, they had a bit of double crossing, which is Bond. A nod to Fiores Only in the Ewok village. Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Oh, there was nods everywhere.
Do you think that was, or do you think it's an accident? They might not have seen it. I don't know. I don't know whether Kerry could have seen it.
I wouldn't be sure.
There was the bit with Bond in the yellow dinghy that like dotted.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Thunderball.
The spots.
Yeah.
Again, and the title. Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
How we tie it into that other franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we remind you this is associated with them?
It's,
it doesn't feel like
it's the, what makes a Bond film is the themes, not callbacks.
Yeah.
When did any of the Brosnans have massive callbacks? I know you could say, well, no, not in terms of the storyline. Okay, yeah, GoldenEye had the DB5 at the beginning, but it didn't have any gadgets used particularly, did it? Was it
Just chasing it.
No, it was just wasn't really meant, ladies it first.
Wasn't, no, but it wasn't the same one. It's just, this was just, I don't, I, it does feel like, got a bit X-Files in the middle with like the deep throat pictures of the, do you know what I mean? In their hideout in Norway.
Yeah.
Was, which presumably is the same, is that the same place as in the opening?
Yeah.
When they were looking at old photos of Safin as a child. And
yeah.
I felt so no. X-Files.
Is that not the same place? Because I was thinking,
oh,
why is she still living there?
Oh, no, it must have been. Absolutely, of course it must
have been. Maybe you shouldn't be living here.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh, I'll just stay in the same place. Why everyone's finding me so easy all the time?
Why was the child with her and why did she... I can't stand how that connected with Safin, the child stuff. It was as if he deliberately...
It's an eye for an eye thing, isn't it? It's like, you killed your father, killed your family, I'll kill your family.
And why did he sort of, to rescue from the ice, why did he shoot right at her? It looked,
yeah, it looked like,
I don't understand. Yeah, so like, weirdly done. She would have been dead. Yeah. Don't stand.
I also watched a strange opening, the horror tropes.
Oh, it was horror. That, yeah. Was that the genre then, that John... You heard it was going to different genres. Horror was one of them.
I'm also...
Time out.
I'm also not a fan of, you know, she's not yours. She's not yours.
Why?
Well, we all know she is, and then Safin... It's Safin who was...
Yeah,
like,
why was he... Yeah. Why does he know? That's what I mean. What's the connect? I don't understand.
Weird choice. It's like the bit where he's like, forgive me. It's like,
yeah, and he was bowing in front of him.
Yeah,
don't get that. So
why did Safin kill the other Spets people? Because of the Mr. White link?
I think so. I mean, it's just,
and why did he want to kill the world? Did he? Or I don't understand. Is it like Silver? It's an afterthought.
Moonraker plot here.
Yeah.
You're gonna kill everyone. Then
well, that's fine if that's
the
plot.
Moonraker is a masterpiece.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. Isn't it?
Yeah. I also think watching it, and this isn't a right. This is my opinion. I think that was very much made with them finishing.
Yeah.
Who's them?
Broccoli and Wilson. I think that feels to me like a final
insult.
The final insult. Who's reviewed?
It feels like a final film, and it feels like it was
killed.
I know.
Killed James Bond. That's the irony. The best podcast out there.
That's why it's so.
Yeah.
And that was a spoiler. Someone put it up. But obviously, I'm like.
Someone put it up.
Yeah, but it might be. What? You know, there's been that rumour the whole time, so I don't know whether it happened or.
Was it anyone
who we know? No, it was just some troll. Fake account. Yeah.
There was nothing that shot me in it.
Frosty.
There's nothing that shot me in it.
No, I agree. And you could sense, as soon as he's walked up that ladder, and he was like, say it.
Yeah.
You have all the time.
Oh, yeah.
No. What an absolute travesty.
Look, having watched it though now, like, I'm looking back at all
Rob.
Oh, no.
You were the positive, all the abuse
that, like, I've had in the last few months for speaking out about Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
People come, you know, like, replying to stuff saying, like, you've misunderstood the trailer and all this. It's obvious that Madeline's betrayed him and all this kind of stuff. Like,
just...
No.
Just wait until you've seen
it. Stop being turnips everywhere on the internet.
How are they together as a couple?
Oh yeah!
And he suddenly goes, turns on it.
Yeah,
just straight off.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
Train and do one.
Yeah. I thought that was going to be a dream sequence. I'm not joking. I thought that whole thing was like that was the ending at the start. I thought that was going to be the ending. And then it was going to say 5 years ago.
I know people are saying it might take a few times to process things, and actually, in a few times after, I might process things and see things a bit differently. Yeah. But having said that. Bad writing is bad writing.
Yeah.
And
you can
look at that and go, that's either a bad choice or that's a bad execution of a choice. And you can see that right there.
Yeah.
And that's not I'm not going to change my opinion.
No. His series has been plagued with terrible writing. His fight has been plagued with
and no extras again.
No.
Apart from the bit in Cuba, was that? It was a bit weird.
That was weird.
Did you notice the woman from Spectre? You know, the...
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Escaped.
Yeah, well, because you...
Mrs.
I noticed that there was some cast that was saying...
Like, that was really weird, that scene.
That was what,
like,
the hell is going on?
That was like a... One of, you know, I don't know, sort of... horror film where it's a comedy horror or something.
It had a Kingsman vibe about it.
Oh yeah, that's another.
Yeah.
Very into parody when they've got a
words
little,
you
little
never
cushion with the eyeball.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Although I did quite like Ana de Armas.
Yeah, she was excellent.
We said in the trailer, I bet she's only in that
scene. I was desperately worried.
But it was like, what? Was that just to sort of be a bit, hey, you know, I don't use the word, but you know, the whole woke thing that, oh, normally he would get off with her and then You were excellent, or something. Yeah, yeah. I said you were brilliant to each other.
We're all
just so they can say that.
Jeffrey Wright's death of Felix is far more emotional than David Hedison's.
the death of James Bond. Yeah.
I was thinking that at the time.
Sacrificial
I was like,
lamb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I had a brother. His name was Felix.
He has got old man voice now.
Come
hasn't
out
he?
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to decide what my thoughts on Craig's performance are. I thought he was trying them too hard. I think at times.
Yeah.
He was giddy and he was fully into it. But I think you're out of your depth, possibly. I don't know.
Why did he go American so many times?
Zorin. He did go. But that was the best bit. I don't know.
One of the criticisms we said is that he's a grumpy Bond and he doesn't like enjoying it. I think he looked like he enjoyed himself.
He wasn't grumpy in this one.
No, I think you've got to give credit there.
I don't know. I think he had too much to do with the script. The script gave him too much to do. There's so many lines where it was like, we're going to tell you how you're thinking now and I want you to speak this line. Whereas normally, Dalton wouldn't, or Connery or Moore wouldn't be saying the line. They'd just be showing them the face. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. How much abuse are we going to get from
this? Well, we're not alone, are we?
I don't think we're alone. No, you're right. In this one.
And we say this because we love Bond. That's the thing. We're not trying to be smarty pants.
And I don't think killing James Bond in itself is off limit. I mean, I would never do it personally, but there is a way you can do it in a good way.
It is, and it feels like now it's happening.
It feels like
everything that Craig's been doing, to this. Like,
didn't feel linked to Vespa at all. It's nothing to do with him. Yeah.
The big fanfare. I mean, it was
the crying.
All I can think
character
of is
crying,
Barbara.
Yeah.
At the end, watching him get blown for
it's so unoriginal.
Yeah. It was the robe on death.
We've got Batman doing it.
It was very Dark Knight Rises.
It's just boring. Do something new.
Yeah.
Honestly.
What are they
going to
do?
I didn't think Bond was going to rehash stuff from 15 years ago, but it is now. You know, like, Bond used to be at the forefront of everything. It really isn't now. Really isn't at all. It's rehashing 20 years ago stuff.
It's like they're trying to reinvent the wheel. It just needs like fresh pair of
tyres.
You know what I mean?
Very
Stop doing that. Just you've got what you've got. Make the best of it.
Yeah.
Rather than just constantly like.
Dave Roy Carr said he's been tonight.
Oh
gosh. Looking forward
to
hearing your thoughts. James Fred, you know James Ingham. Yeah. Q 10-hour podcast special.
I think there's going to be hundreds of episodes with different people and trying to...
Yeah, get this all... Yeah.
But it's like, it might just depress me just talking about this. I don't know.
I feel upset by it.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that. I want to come out of a Bond film exhilarated.
Yeah.
And I don't...
And when I was sat there, I thought, that when's that moment where you want to go, like, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you saw Robert Brown.
The club
was good in Jamaica. Yeah. Not like a decent club in Jamaica.
Yeah, that was great.
I actually quite like Q. I think it was his best.
But Q, Moneypenny, and M were great. I thought.
So M built a massive chemical weapon.
Who for? Yeah. What?
What's going on?
Or did that Denshit guy? Did he do it? Or
why there's a film that's had that recently, though, isn't there? There's a film that had
just a comedy
good guy. Build a chemical weapon
that was then used
and
against.
It was used it,
so it's
an unoriginal
another, idea. Yeah, wait, another
it's
thing.
Not Mission Impossible
it's a film 100%. It is Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
it's the one with Simon
Simon McBurney. Yeah.
Simon McBurney did it
and that was filmed where the Spectre.
Yeah.
But we're not allowed to compare. We're not allowed to compare.
Blenheim Palace is filmed the same place.
The thing was used in Mission... Is it Mission Impossible 6? Is it the latest one?
It might be the one with the glass cage, the Sean Harris.
Right. Well,
I don't know.
That exact plot...
Which was in... It was a mess, wasn't it? It was an absolute mess again. Yeah. I thought that was another...
And you think,
it's too long.
And I suppose, I understand where, Brockley Wilson was like, if you get this really interesting filmmaker, he'll,
But Danny Boyle was
like,
rejected.
Yeah, like, well, let's get Waller Bridge. She'll do. And you can see where she comes in with some humour.
Yeah.
But what happened to... What about a decent structure? What about a decent story? And we know that she can do that.
Yeah.
Why again?
I thought it was like sub Nolan It felt very copy Nolan, the whole thing. You know, like trying to create more emotion and high stakes. But whereas that was over three films, this was like, add on a few years, oh, we'll do it again, or we'll try another ending, we'll try another.
As much as I really love Christopher Nolan's film, it has a lot to answer for in terms of his influence. Because you get, like you say, that like
I did for, yeah,
version where he adds
the look of the whole look of it. They try everything.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, but no one's films look. I don't think they look. Like, that did look.
No, it's fantastical. CGI and yeah.
Stuff. I don't think no one's films look CGI or.
No.
If you're gonna say no, but that, this is gonna be emotion.
But Batman, Batman Begins is it's a superhero film. Yeah, you know, it's these are but proper. But it's not a Bond film.
That film had about 15 different pop culture references of different franchises, and it was just completely influenced by what's, you know, the Iron Man ending.
There was
a bit where we all turned and just went Jurassic Park.
Don't go into the long grass.
That long coat.
Yeah.
Might look good in the. You know, it's one. You know,
tons of Batman in there. And it's just like.
Yeah, it's not Bond, is it? I don't feel anything like.
Get some weight out of here. Just get them out of here. But why? I mean, what a big. What's that expression people we keep using? Circle jerk.
Just
one going, well done.
Yeah, it was.
Well
it was.
Well done, you. Well done. Didn't you do a good job on the rough?
And it was. Spectre was meant to be the ending. Yeah. It was. It was. This has improved Spectre, I think. Neither were earned.
100%
agree.
Yep.
And I hate that ending. I didn't. It was just a bit flat.
Oh.
But it actually makes more sense with this. It's just like one too many.
Yeah. You expect to, you build up that they've gobbled up Quantum, they've gobbled up Silver, everything has been that as the author of Pain. And then we're supposed to believe that basically one organisation that doesn't have a name or anything, but just lives off a bay, lives off an island, has killed them all by putting gas into one room
for
a
mechanical
eyeball.
Yeah. It kills them all at one party.
Yeah. Why were they all there?
How convenient.
That was like Star Wars prequels, sort of, that, you know, a different planet we went to.
Are you going to this party? Isn't it a bit weird us having been all in the same
place? It's like Attack of the Clones, though.
Yeah.
Actually, if you want to wipe out Spectre, show it. Show what Spectre being wiped
show
out.
Show montage.
Yeah.
But there's none,
again, there's no, like, scope. Everything's so small.
It's Bond because he has to follow Bond and he has to be there for you to see it.
Oh, even the point, like, you know, spotlights come on him.
Yeah.
Batman
like
Forever.
The lighting guys, like, as the eye said it, Batman. He said it, like, boom, pop the lights on.
And they weren't in on it either.
Yeah,
they didn't know what was going on, but they were all like.
Isn't that on. Escape from New York. What's the.
Dark Crystal?
No, the eyeball. One. Yeah. It's a huge eyeball. What's it called, the John Carpenter one that you guys?
Big Trouble in Little China.
Nothing about them. What? And they look weird. They look like aliens. The three men who were had the eyeball on a cushion.
What? Yeah, absolute nonsense.
It's gone full Dine of the Day.
Why is Dine of the Day silly than that? I agree.
Well, we don't know yet. We'll have to see what people think.
Was it all because Purpose of Wade thought of that eye gag at the end to put an eyeball and then pop?
Oh, it was nearly a strangulation mask. Sort
of I know.
We nearly got. I thought it was going to have a great end fight, and then it was just over within seconds. In a two and a half, 43 minutes.
It was.
Safin was over in seconds.
Security guards watching.
So overblown. Such an overblown.
We've had to get a lot off our chest, so. and I want some answers now.
We were promised
a good math, I'll go for you again.
I think there were one or two good bits in it, but overall, not for me. I don't know. I think it's a bit of a mess, really, and I think it's not what Bond is about. It's more like what. I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I don't know. There were some entertaining bits in it. I just don't think we've lost James Bond, really. It's not been James Bond for a while now, and that was massively evidenced there. I mean, there's plenty more I could say. I'll rewatch it.
Go
out and watch it. Go and support the franchise, because that will make sure they've got the big bucks to come back and do it all again.
please can we abandon the writing direction that this series has taken, because not only are the plot holes, it's just lazy. Everything about this is just lazy. That said, I enjoyed a lot of what I saw. It doesn't sound like it.
No.
I enjoyed a lot of what I saw. Craig's best outing is James Bond, if you want to call that James Bond. And there's a lot. I really enjoyed the experience. Yeah. Mm.
What do you think non-Bond fans would think? Say you haven't...
The series.
You needed to know a little bit of knowledge, and then you'd still have been confused, or what?
I think it's so far removed from the rest of those other films.
Yeah.
It would be like, if you saw that, and then went to see anything up to, you know, 9 of the day, you'd be like, what's this?
Yeah.
There's no relationship.
Even Spectre, man.
Yeah.
I think you saw that by the reaction of people leaving.
I just felt that there was a real lethargy when people left. I didn't feel like there was no buzz to talk about.
It's so far removed from any of that.
My short review of the film is I'm going home to watch some pussy. Really the worst.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.